we had Balloon Ascension every every year.
Oh yeah.
And finally, us and everybody else, schools that had it, had to shut them down because of wildlife. Unfortunately, their ducks and things were swallowing.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But we had it every year. Remember, we'd put it right off from the hill.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd have a half a dozen staff doing all the balloons in there. I'd go down to Woonsocket somewhere and bring home this humongous helium tank. And okay, crew, make the helium. So I'd go in there, and somebody had just taken some, and hi, Tom, come on in, and they'd all be just chirping in there.
Right.
Destroying their brain cells. And then the balloons would pop because the ceiling had nails on it.
Yeah. Oh.
And some of the balloons would only go into those trees right there.
Oh, yeah.
And the kids would start crying. But some made it to, like, P-Town.
I remember.
We'd get stuff back from the Cape, or nothing made it overseas. Yeah. But
Well, it was always a big deal at Sing. When you'd be like, we've got a postcard.
Yeah, yes.
And the kid was like, where is it from? It's
Thomas.
Like, Medfield.
Yeah, yeah. Medway.
But if he was doing a good job, he'd be like, this one's coming all the way from Holliston.
Yeah, yeah. The far away land. But so, it was a huge deal. And if it was yours, that was big.
Huge.
Yeah.
Huge. It was fun.
It was a lot.
It was a beast because in the council's hand, they were struggling. They'd come out with their group, their tribes,
yeah,
and then they'd have to undo them while all the kids are right there wanting them, and they'd nod off.
Yeah,
because some counselors cared less than others, right. So there'd be a nod of balloons. And we go five, four, three, and about eight balloons would go up together with all the tags hanging up. Oh God.
Best laid plans.
This is fun.
Yeah.
Stuff I haven't thought about it in a while.
Oh, yeah. Welcome back to Camp Time is Real Time. I'm your host, Sarah LeBrec, and this is fun. Man, this is the episode. Oh, you're going to like it. So we're talking to Tom some more, and this episode, we are just talking stories. We're talking about counselors. We're talking about counselor competitions, theme days, just various moments in camp. And this one really has it all. And if you thought that last episode of Tom kind of brought you back, this one surely will. So this is more of myself, Bill, and Tom just shooting the breeze, talking about everything camp. This is kind of the podcast where when you're, you know, seeing your camp friends and the stories just start flowing, that's this. Okay, and then just a little bit of housekeeping. We have more coming up from Tom, so stick around for that. And hey, actually, keep the emails coming. They've seemed to have dried up. The only ones I seem to get anymore are from our good friends at TikTok. But send me an email, camptimefcdc@gmail.com. Give us a follow over on Instagram, camptime_realtime. Same thing on TikTok, camptime_realtime. And we're also on YouTube. And I don't have an address to give you for that, but it's up. I think if you search for it, you can find it. Billy's episode is up, and when the soccer season is over for Freddie, there will be more content everywhere, but he's doing a great job anyway. Yeah, send us some feedback. And in the meantime, enjoy this episode and we'll see you next time. Bye.
One of the things that I was hoping to talk about today was the bringing in somebody from the outside and the things that they brought.
Shannon was awesome. And her camp self, like most people, was the best Shannon.
Yeah.
So much fun. And like, she's one of these people that, and there are so many examples of it, you look at her and you're like, oh, she's all in. Like, she loves camp. Like, I remember, because we were, like, very close. One of my favorite things is we'd sit at Sing, and we'd sit next to each other and just speed up the pace of songs from the audience. Like, when things were dragging, or even if they weren't, we're like, let's see how fast we can get this.
I remember it well. Damn, what are they doing? The little kids couldn't
little
keep
Mohawk
up.
Trying to sing a song, and we're like, green grass, run, 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 run.
Yeah, and I remember Dave Kelleher being, I honestly, I think Dave Kelleher was one of your best hires. And I remember at the time I saw him, you know, and Dave was kind of had kind of an awkward personality. And I was like, ooh, what is this guy? But it was perfect. And so I was curious as to your thoughts on outside hires. Some of your favorites.
Well, remember the contest you and he had?
What was the contest?
They had bet.
He had taught me how to tie this knot. It was called, I think it was called a bowline, if I remember correctly. Yeah, and I had gotten pretty good at it. I got faster than him over the course of the summer. And I was an assistant, so I was I want to beat him in front of the whole camp.
Right.
And, so they had concocted this whole plan, you know, and all of a sudden I see Dave with the rope, and he was putting some sap on it from the tree. And now my rope was all sap. And so I went to tie my rope, and I couldn't even get it around. Now Dave beats me in front of the whole camp. He's always been one of my examples, but I'm curious as to some of the people you think of that fit that mold.
His predecessor, as I mentioned, Nino.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Nobody remembers Nino, really, but Nino was a super Boy Scout. He was made for pioneering.
Yeah.
He not only did the model campsite, the original one, which was absolutely beautiful. Pictures of that exist here somewhere. But he also, every year he'd make a big project. And he was a very gentle man. He is a gentleman. He lives out in California somewhere. One year we built a bridge over Mine Brook, down at the lower end of boating.
Oh,
yeah.
Out of
logs, a bridge. Another year he built the famous Swing of Doom behind the theater, which was a swing the kids, a Swing of Doom it was called. It was made out of logs and rope. He would do this every year with the older kids, and the kids would swing back and forth, and there was a couple kids fell out of it.
Yeah.
And then one year he bit catapults, and we had a battle with water balloons with catapults down there.
Oh my gosh.
Shooting water balloons back across the camp. He built two of them, and so they each team had turns of using it. Another year, and he was the originator of what you guys have heard about Surge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The first Surge was Nino.
Okay.
And he created Surge. Another year he was Michael Jackson's mother. He came in a Cadillac and got out, and he was all dressed up. And I think it was.
And it sounds right.
And he came out and talked to the whole camp. They were all around the pool. We had this one set up, of course.
Yeah.
The whole camp's around the pool, and he was hello camp. He was beautiful on these kind of things. Hello camp. Michael is on concert tour right now, but I thought I'd represent him. Because we had told him that we were going to get Michael Jackson.
Sure.
So she took his place. And I wheeled her wheelchair, and this was all supposed to happen. Yeah. I got too near the edge of the pool, and I wheeled him right in. And so he's in all these dresses and stuff and wigs, and the whole wheelchair and him went right in the pool.
Oh, my God.
That was all planned by just a few of us.
Yeah.
Right, yep, yeah.
And it shocked the kids.
Yeah.
And it was laugh for the counselors, of course.
Right.
Things like that. He would do those kind of things every year.
Yeah. How long was he there for?
Oh, he was there, I think, from the get-go. I met him when I came to camp.
Oh, okay.
Till 1981 or 2.
Okay. Yeah, because Eric remembers him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe 83. Yeah, Eric would have.
Yeah.
Jesse would have. In fact, we buried I don't know if you've heard this story. It still is here somewhere. We buried a time capsule. Nino was behind it.
Oh, no.
And we all put stuff in. I vaguely remember it. It was kind of his thing.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't do it as a whole. The two pioneering he created, but the whole camp. And I can't remember, and I have a pretty good memory for stuff like that. I can't remember. Gail couldn't remember.
Mm-hmm.
So Nino used to come and visit a lot of years. He'd come back the last week of camp. He'd come into town to see his parents, and he'd come over and visit for a few hours. Great guy. Always wore green socks.
That's when I met him. That was that scenario where he would come and visit.
Yes.
And you would let him speak to us, I remember.
About his remembrance.
Yeah.
Sweet man.
That's cool.
So he even brought one of those wooden things that you find water with, and he walked around all of camp that day with Dale and an eye at times. We could not locate it. It still is here somewhere.
Wow.
It's on the grounds or is it in the woods?
No, it's in the grounds.
Okay.
He says, no, I didn't put it in the woods. And he said, I think I put it on... No.
Who knows?
So it's here. And it's probably 40 years old now.
Mm. Wow. That would be a good one to find.
Another thing we did, and Nina was just connected to this, Skylab. This is my first year, 79. My first year as program director. We had this space thing called Skylab, and it fell out of the sky because it was worn out. And nobody at the time knew if some pieces could come through. And
mm-hmm. Right.
Nowadays, they know.
Right.
They're all
burn
up.
Yeah.
So we had an old fan up in the upstairs in the barn, just an old fan, and we covered it in foil. Because Skylab had this big propeller on the top of it, this weird-looking thing. And we put it on the old boathouse. So the next morning, when the kids came to camps, we waited till somebody saw it.
Yep.
Hey! Oh, my God, it's a piece of Skylab! And I had a friend of mine, Nino arranged the car somehow, caddy again, we put flags on the front. I had a friend of mine who was an old Army officer. He squeezed in, this guy was a nice guy named Ralph, he squeezed into his uniform and put his hat on, and we drove him in this Cadillac in the back seat. And we had all the kids down there, we put that yellow stuff back,
yeah.
And we had all the kids sitting way back, and my friend came in, and they put a ladder up on side of the...
Oh, my God.
And he crawled up there, and he pretended he had, like, a Geiger counter or something. He's going like this. From up there, he announces the camp, yes, you know, and told this is a piece of Skylab, please. We'll call in the troops, and we'll get this out of here, but please, for today, don't touch it. And so the kids couldn't get around it all day, and then we just took it down.
Imagine the conversations at the dinner table that night. Yep. Every kid,
yep.
You know, just saying, you wouldn't believe it, there was a piece of Skylab at camp.
Yep. And,
you know. Parents are going, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
We pulled it off.
Where did I send you to camp? Area 51?
Right, yeah, exactly.
We used to a lot of stuff like that because we were trying to build it.
Yeah.
We used to send the explorers out on day trips.
Oh, is that
occasionally.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Eric mentioned that.
Did he?
He goes, first of all, we had free periods as campers. And then they just went like on a canoe trip just
they had their
down
own
the river
campsite
just by themselves.
They had their own campsite too.
Wow.
See you later.
Tommy was gifted.
Oh, yeah.
And with your personality and the things you came up with, combined with his techno, like putting that camera in the water to film
to
get tea.
He got him, right.
Got him.
Yeah.
Like, he exists. There he is.
He was really excited,
and
Tommy.
And he covered that whole thing, and it didn't ruin it, did it?
No. If I remember correctly, he put a bag on it or something.
He
did everything he could to protect, but the turtle had been hanging around for about a half an hour, and everybody was huddled around, and Tommy's like, I want to get him. And so I said, all right, you know, let's go out in the boat. And I think he put a trash bag around it or something, and he ended up putting it in the water, and the thing was right there. It went well.
Awesome.
That was awesome. I know.
And
I remember
the days of those huge cameras and the big box you carried with you.
Yeah.
You guys, those were some great videos.
We had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We did.
How many years was that? Was it three?
I think we did maybe three or four together. Yeah. I don't remember.
Yeah.
But.
I mean, it honestly set the bar. Like, because I remember growing up, and we were just like, oh, this is a real video we're watching.
Well,
and
he had access to the cable eight.
Right.
Yeah.
He was one of my students too. And I loved his personality, and I knew he was doing basketball games for Medfield and stuff. Mm-hmm. He was like a sophomore or whatever.
Yeah.
I said, you gotta come to camp.
Yeah.
I always knew that you were a big part to the video. One thing that I don't know if all of the video counselors did it, but I always said, you get him in the video and you've got a home run right away. It doesn't matter what happens in the video. He's going to nail it.
Yep.
And the camp is going to be engaged in watching him.
Yep.
Because he's on there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
This is fun. Everybody used to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You always deliver.
You never balk.
No.
You come into him with the most ridiculous thing. I remember we had this green alligator, stuffed alligator, and we brought it into your office, and we're like, all right, look, you're going to hire this alligator.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay. And then he's sitting there just talking to the alligator. So what is your experience?
I do remember that. Camp was awesome. Just one after another.
Yep.
I had a guy from Medfield named Danny Powers. He played soccer for me in the mid-80s. He was a great soccer player. And Danny did games here for me for a few years. And I said, can you be... They wanted a skit for the beginning of video. He was so nice. And he had to come into my office like that. And I had to tell him he was too ugly. He was scaring the kids. And I told him what we were going to do. He goes, okay. Big tall guy, he's like 6'4". And back then we didn't have that deck behind there, but we just had three steps. The door was there with three steps.
Mm-hmm.
And he came into that office and I'm being filmed saying, Danny, I love you here, man, but you're too ugly. And all the kids are scared of you, man. He says, oh, I'm sorry. I said, what am I gonna do? I said, here's a solution so we can keep you here. And we pulled out a paper shopping bag. So, somebody had cut the eyes and the nose out of and drew ears on the side. I said, here, this will work. Yeah. I put it over his head. I said, now get out there and do your job.
Yeah.
And then Zephyr, whoever was filming it, was outside the steps, and they had him open the door and kind of stumble down the steps with his bag on his head. And that was the end of the skit. He was only here 1 year. He did ceramics, the Wild Man. We did some
Bubba.
Yeah. He was just one?
1 year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he left. he was a great contribution for 1 year.
Gotcha.
Great personality, but there was not going to be a second year. He did the video with him on Independence Day thing with him. I was the president.
Right. Oh, yeah. That was a lot of fun.
He was like, he got sucked up into the spaceship or something.
Yeah, he played that Randy Quaid character.
Yeah.
But, that was another great performance out of you. But today we celebrate our independence.
The whole tent goes crazy.
And when talk about the tent going crazy, remember when Mr. Lemon would come?
Oh,
maybe this was
that
later
was after.
Years.
Yeah, that was okay. after us. Yeah.
We started getting Mr. Lemon coming.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
Once a session.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then it became some other popsicle person. But Mr. Lemon came, and I'd wait till the end of saying and blah blah blah. And by the way, we're this afternoon, and then Mr. Lemon's coming. I just say it like that. Please go
for Mr. Lemon.
Yep. And counselors would keep it going. It'd be screaming and screaming. And so it got to be a thing. Let's scream louder than we did 2 weeks ago. That thing was awesome.
Yeah.
I don't know how we built a ring in there. Were you here?
Was that
before you?
No,
were you
I
a little
remember.
Kid?
I remember the stage.
So we build a ring. I don't know how we built it. I don't know who built it, but we built a ring.
Yeah.
Four sides. It's on in the right in the middle of the tent. And of course the carpet's there, but it's just it's not soft.
Yeah.
So we built this thing up. We had some. I don't know. I think we had John challenge him. We made John.
I don't remember what
so
the.
John Bucci was my arts and crafts counselor.
Yeah.
And John, not a big guy, great. He was here a couple as an assistant and as a head. And a nice kid. He's from Medfield.
120 pounds soaking
wet. Yeah.
Well, another one of my Medfield connections, right?
Yeah.
Camp Medfield here for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I knew those kids.
Yeah.
You know, everybody that came, I knew them. I had them in school.
Yeah.
And I knew.
We talked about that, and you know, it was an easy hire
yes,
for you.
Yes, yes. John came out of that. You know, everybody came out of that. So, so we built a thing, and John was called the Unicorn, and he came into the ring with this unicorn thing strapped to his head, and just a pair of shorts, and a little paint on it. But we set him up. We had him challenge Jay, the humongous one, to.
Right.
To the battle, because everybody was in the WWF or whatever
going
on. I don't know, you know, Hulk Hogan or something. And of course, the humongous one accepted the challenge. And we built it up for a week or so, every day.
Zeph was doing short little videos.
Oh, yeah.
I remember going, the unicorn!
Yeah, yeah, the unicorn! And he was really egging it on and getting whipped. The day comes, the whole camp is in there. Zeph is the referee. And he comes out in a top hat and a painted on vest and tie, if you remember.
Yeah, Bill. I do remember.
It was painted on his chest. And he announces it like that guy that goes, let's get ready to rumble,
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, ladies and gentlemen, campers. And he introduces, they come out of the side with robes on, and he first introduces the unicorn. John steps through the ropes. Then he introduces the humongous one. Jeez, I love this. I forgot. We had so many things like this. I know it's we had to build this, okay? All this, it was part of the puzzle, the formula. Now the humongous gets introduced, and he comes out, and he's got a short shorts on, not a brief, but just short, and kind of like boots, you know, leather boots, and a big chain around his neck. Remember?
I don't remember. I almost felt like they painted part of him green.
He had some more paint on him, but he had a chain around his neck. I didn't know he was going to do this. And he comes out like this, and he was taking it a little too seriously in the end. John did, by the way, John doesn't get seriously hurt or anything, but, so, long story short, it goes back and forth, and Jay lets John do a couple things to him, and he falls back, and the whole camp is going crazy, and then it was supposed to end with the humongous one pinning John.
Right.
Or maybe it was supposed to be John pinning the humongous one.
I remember you guys were upset because he wouldn't let him win.
Yes, John was supposed to pin him. That's right, Bill.
Right.
That's right. Thank you.
And he was against it.
So he took over. But when he picked John up and brought him over his shoulder, he didn't slam him onto the asphalt, but he landed harder than he should have. And then he laid across him and pinned his body. John, you know, I don't know if he was even 120 pounds then. And then he gets up like this, and the whole camp kind of goes, but they didn't really know what to do. And Zeph's going, and I'm outside the rope going. And then he leaves the thing, and it all blew over.
Yeah.
So that was his great contribution to camp. Do you remember Rick Cardoza?
No.
Arts and crafts, taught with me in Medfield, art teacher, great guy. Was my arts and crafts guy for, I want to say, 3 years, maybe four. He was a track coach in Medfield, blah, blah, blah. Great guy. And then we had a guy in archery named Bob, Kevin Winship's friend. Can't think of his last name. He's an attorney today. And he was in archery, and he was proud of himself. Somehow we got in a discussion about running.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe in a staff meeting at lunch or something, he said, I could beat you, Rick, in a race. Rick says, oh, yeah, I challenge you. We can race in front of the camp. I don't know how we pulled this off. Can never pull it off today. Long story short, we had them race. Now, we built this up through video, champ back and forth.
Right.
I'm going to kick his, you know, whatever. Yeah. Plain Street, right across from the camp.
Mm-hmm.
You go down about halfway, and there's a street called Linda Lane.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Bill Pope filmed this in his BMW with a sunroof before everybody had sunroofs. So Bill did this. Bill was with me here a couple years, a good friend of mine, and taught in Medfield. You remember Bill Pope?
Yes, I do.
Mr. Pope and Mr. Towel, he called them soap and towel, the kids in Medfield. They went all the way down to that street,
mm-hmm.
probably 500 yards. This is a sprint. Bill got in front, right in the middle of the day, on the street. Bill got in front of them. Somebody was driving Bill's car, and he was up in the up in the sunroof, filming them running towards, running with it like they do the marathon.
Yeah, yeah.
I got the whole, I don't know how she bought this. I got the whole camp outside her driveway gate against the stone walls on both sides. Out on Pond Street.
Yeah. Oh my God.
That's hilarious.
Whole camps out there. We could, you know, could barely see them there. And they rate, and then I don't remember where we had them stop because they would have run right onto Pond Street.
Yeah.
Right.
But they had to race pretty close to Pond Street.
Oh my God.
And that was an ongoing challenge for like a whole session of this race and a build up to this competition.
Yeah.
Did you ever hear the story of him with the archery?
Who's that?
Rob McNichols?
I don't know that name.
Oh, Medfield people.
He's younger than me. Okay. Okay. Yeah.
There was an older sister. She was on the pool staff.
Yeah, Meg.
Megan.
Yeah.
Then Rob, then Danny.
Yeah.
Jack's age. It was three of them. And they all were here for years. One of Jack's friends from high school was a counselor here. And she was a New England championship archer. So Jack said, I think my friend would be good at camp. So I brought her here and I put her in archery as an assistant.
Mm.
So later in the summer, I asked Rob, hey, Rob, I got an idea. We'll do a William Tell thing. We're going to shoot an apple off your head. But we're really not going to shoot it, of course.
Yeah.
And I let Gail know and I'll let Tricia know. I say, Rob, we're going to do a William Tell thing. Are you up for this? I told him. He goes, yeah, let's do it. So I told Gail, I told Tricia the nurse, this is what we're going to do. So I introduced this girl to the camp. We had it down on the ball field. And I said, I guess they probably knew by then she was quite an archer because she was doing it. Mm-hmm. And I said, she's a New England champion, 16-year-old archery, and she says she can shoot an apple off somebody's head. Do I have a volunteer? Rob goes like this. Okay, Rob, come on up. So we put Rob there. We just stick an apple on his head. He's just standing like this. And we go, and the camp's kind of going like this. Yeah, like that. And that's why Tricia and Gail knew.
Right.
I don't know if anybody else knew. I said, Lauren, do you think you could even shoot it off his head from further back? She goes, oh, yeah, sure. She's got this big mammoth professional body.
Right.
You know, it looks like a machine.
Yeah.
So she took another 10 paces back, and the camp counted for her. We counted everything. 10, 9, you know, you remember. She counts another 10 back now. Now, Rob's little brother, Danny, doesn't know about this. He's Jack's age. So today he's like 31 or something, but he starts freaking out. He's over on the side. He gets up and goes, no. And we weren't going to have her shoot.
Right,
I was about to say, it's just a joke, but give everybody a big hand, but he just beat me by seconds.
Oh, no.
And he gets up and starts screaming.
Oh, no.
And at that point, Trish is upset because he's upset.
Oh, my God.
She's running out. No, stop. Like she didn't know about it. It was awesome.
You remember how you resolved it? You just say, okay, no.
He said, no, I knew it, but we weren't going to do it. But everybody loved it. But there was this 20 seconds.
Right. It's too much.
We're going to shoot his apple off his head. William Tell.
Wow.
Yeah. That's something.
This is how well I know you and this place, is that you started telling that story and I immediately knew. I had no idea what had occurred that day, but I knew where it was heading. I said, there's an apple on someone's head, and he was going to pretend to shoot it off.
Right.
You know, when I started, the only competitions were Battle Royale.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of an early version of Food Relay.
Mm-hmm.
And Tug of War.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. And I definitely said, okay, I want this camp to have a good schedule, but I got to keep this place hopping.
Mm.
And Sam and I have talked many times about this. The secret is keep everybody hopping.
Yeah.
No breaks. Mm-hmm. Let them go home exhausted and can't wait to get back the next day.
Yeah.
And so I said, got to get these competitions going more. So they all evolved. But we had one we created down there, the Great Race, we call it, or something.
Yeah,
like
yeah, it's a race.
So
yeah.
It initially was canoes. Mm-hmm. Just race down around a milk bottle and back. And then it started to get a little competitive, splashing water, yeah. things yes. like that. And then we added the banana boats and those little orange kayaks. So they'd have the canoes plus the kayaks, and
yeah, they were like defenders. Yeah, yeah.
Somebody had bataka bats, those little pillow bats. I was trying to get more creative.
Yeah. Right,
Let's make this really fun.
Yeah.
And I get the whole camp on the inside of the fence. Joyce's, she gets in a banana boat. And, go. And she's, I'm sorry, you don't remember this. She started paddling and water got inside the banana boat.
And she do you remember sunk. This? Yeah.
So the next year, or maybe that was the second year,
yeah.
it was 2 years she was here.
Yeah.
The other year, she just took it upon herself to destroy the entire race. She, oh, same year, I'm
yeah.
sorry,
yeah.
same year. Boat sinks, she's in the water now.
Yeah, that's right.
And she went after everybody.
Yeah.
She started tipping canoes?
Just yeah. tipped, okay. every, well, no, everything was a counselor.
Okay.
Yeah. There were kids inside the canoe. She couldn't really tip a canoe.
Okay. Right.
But she tipped, she sunk every banana boat and every orange kayak. And some of the counselors weren't really excited about it. Because
mm-hmm.
some people loved jumping in there and some people hated that.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, it was yeah. a laugh. They knew there were snappers at the bottom.
Yeah. yeah.
Mr. T.
Yeah.
You know, and all that. She went after everybody. And it was beyond my control.
What?
She just went, I couldn't stop it. I'm down on the dock with a bullhorn.
Yeah.
Right.
Going, okay, it's over. I can remember.
She's just raging in the water.
I think it was Adam. I'll have to ask him.
I think so, yeah.
Adam's like, you know, he's trying to get away from her. And, no, stop it. She got it.
Wow.
She's a strong gal.
Hold on. That led to her being surged, I think. Because she got
yeah,
surged.
Yes.
And Kelly told me that it was they flipped her around it. On the...
She was supposed to be the surger.
Yeah, and she was buying, like, the mayonnaise and whatever.
I do remember that.
She was not happy with me after that. I gave her the money to go get everything.
She bought it all.
She bought it all.
And then it was all for her.
Yeah.
That's great. Brilliant.
It's
evil
perfect.
Genius.
Yeah, exactly. And it happens all the time. Yeah.
She was... She tried to bolt, too. A few people we searched bolted, but we caught them.
Well, I remember we had a real problem with Scott Janovitz. He would not come out of the bathroom.
Oh,
he locked
yeah.
himself in the bathroom.
Yeah.
And he knew what was happening. And you're going, you're outside the bathroom. You're going, you better get out there. And he's going, I'm not coming out. And you said, your job is reliant on you coming out of this bathroom. And
did
then
he come out?
Yeah, he came out.
Did
yeah.
we surge him? Or
oh, yeah.
He got
yeah.
surged? Oh,
yeah.
I only remember him being a surgeon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It got to me.
Yeah.
Again, Nino invented it way back.
Yeah.
Zeph did it for many years. Mm-hmm. John did it.
John Pantriaco
was I remember
doing
John
it.
Doing it.
My
yeah.
earliest memories of it
yes.
are with John.
John did it for a number of years.
Yeah.
Those were the three big surgers. And it became
yeah.
here and there. And it became like, okay, I got to stop this.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was nice. It was one of those cool things that didn't happen all the time.
Yeah.
Was my memory, and then yeah,
well, only once a year, one person.
Right, no, but not even every year. Like my first surge memory was John, and so like I was corrected that wasn't him, but and then it wasn't every year, and then I remember it just stopping, which
it usually would be counselors would come to me with their proposal for who gets surge.
Yes,
or,
yeah,
it was a matter of somebody just goofing up a lot or
yeah.
dropping the ball once, and everybody knew it.
Yeah.
It was somebody that had a few situations over the summer. Great people, but still.
Right.
Too many gray squirrels or
right.
dead ants.
Or something that couldn't be, like rectified with dead
yeah.
ants. Yeah. It was
yeah.
like one
so
level more.
I mean, John Fack. John said, I got my surge this year. Okay.
So here's the budget.
Rob McNichols was the last one, but he volunteered. I don't know if you were.
Yeah. Katie Crowley did that to him.
Yes,
yeah,
Katie.
I remember that. Yeah.
And then Josh, Kelly's son.
Yep.
Did it in a skit.
Mm-hmm.
It's a surprise. I didn't know they were going to do it either. And she was watching the skits with me and
oops.
I was going like this. but Rob was a volunteer kind of to do it.
Yeah. And I remember, so we got a like a kiddie pool to put him in because we were very concerned.
He just sat in a chair and took it.
Yeah.
He was fine.
But yeah, there's something when like, when the person volunteers, it's like, all right, well, it's no longer what it's supposed to be.
But then people started asking to be in it.
Yeah.
They'd come to me the first week.
Yeah.
Or Battle Royale, first week. Can I be in Battle Royale?
Yeah.
Do you know that started with a watermelon?
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no, it was already going when I got here. That was already going, but it was with a watermelon, one of those long ones.
Oh.
And he would grease, Flip would grease the watermelon with Vaseline.
Uh-huh.
I can't believe that how he'd be able to pull it off.
Yeah.
But what happened is, it, finally, all the guys trying breaking, to grab it would break apart in the pool.
Yeah, can't have that.
So she wanted the, Gail said, no, I don't think we can do that. I said, what if I got some other, and that's how the big ball came into play.
Yeah.
Ordered one online, or not online, ordered one from a catalog that was humongous.
Yeah, a big orange one.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. We were able to keep it going because of that.
Well, it used to be, as I recall, you know, you'd announce the competition, and it was, like, as a counselor, like, you don't know if you're in it. And it was, it used to be like, you got to do it. So when people started requesting to be in things, I remember being like, oh, well, that's not it. That's, we're not trying to do that here.
That's the essence.
Yeah.
But times change.
Right.
And I ended up going around and actually saying, because I'd say to somebody, you're going to be in this.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be in it. And it would come back to me like.
Oh, yeah.
So I started saying, hey, you good for a comp? And I would try to say some, we're going to have a competition today.
Yep.
You won't get very dirty.
Oh,
blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You know, and okay.
That's a lot different than it used to be.
Yes.
I remember I used to go to you. I would find out that someone didn't want to be in it.
Yes.
And I would go to him and say, hey, this one was complaining about that. Make sure they're in.
Yes. You and a few others would do that. So the devil wasn't always me. It was coming through me from all of you.
That used to be part of it, though,
yes,
and you could feel it as kids too. You're like, "Oh, we got one!" Like it was, that was great. Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of changed.
Yeah.
But it still was so great.
I was surprised to learn, when did oatmeal go away? Because I was surprised to learn that wasn't still.
My wife brought that to camp. Susan did it, and she went to Springfield College, and that was part of their orientation when she was in college.
Oh.
She brought me the idea. She said, "You know." I've got a great idea. She told me about the
Yep.
So that's how that evolved.
Well, we started down there. I remember at the boathouse doing it. And then one.
Also over on the hill here.
That's where it was best right there.
Yeah.
Because of the hill.
The slope.
More
yeah.
went on.
Yeah.
More went on you. And the slipping and sliding.
Yeah.
And after, you know, again, Gail was concerned because at night the raccoons and woodchucks would come out and eat the oatmeal.
Yeah.
Even though I would spend half an hour with a hose trying to get it off.
Yeah.
So then we went to plastic there. And we did that for a few years, and then Gail asked if I could take it away completely. I said, how about we go down behind the we used to call it the elephant down there, the archery.
The blue whale? Yeah.
Blue whale, excuse me. And we put it down way in the back of archery.
Right.
And it lost its steam a little bit. And then she said, no.
Yeah.
It was one of those.
Huh.
But it was great. And I used to cook the oatmeal.
Mm-hmm.
And it was too hot. Even though you let it cool, big pots, it doesn't cool.
Right,
yeah.
Crazy. So then I got smart, or somebody did, maybe my wife, because Susan did it most of the time. She said, let's just mix the oatmeal with cold water. Just make a...
Yeah, right. Yeah, who cares? Yeah.
Who cares? So that's what we started doing. We'd put the oatmeal in the big pot and just pose it. And I'd have a CIT. I was so excited to do that. It was an honor.
Right, yeah.
They would stand and make it for me.
Yeah.
I'd give them all the things and three big buckets. We really made them biggest. We wanted a lot of oatmeal on everybody.
Right.
And you remember, every blow of the bullhorn, you had to go from the back to the front.
That's right.
Yeah.
That ensured that everybody got a lot on them.
That's right, yeah.
Not just the front people.
Yep.
I think it's so funny that you used to cook it, because now, thinking about it, you know, why wouldn't you have just added cold water to it? But I could just, I'm almost picturing him like,
in an apron.
Like, oh, almost out that day.
Could I have a little syrup on this? Oh,
Like Susan in the room, like, what is he doing?
Brown sugar, that would have been great on it.
It would have been real sticky.
A little sticky.
On top of the, after the pots are there, you take a whole box of brown, dark brown, so you see it more, right?
Yeah.
The visual. You just put it on the top.
Yeah. Ah, the turtles would have loved that. And everyone jumps in the river.
Yeah, you had no choice. You were going in the river.
Had to go in the
afterwards.
River. It was a rite of passage. It was
great.
Yeah.
And it's good for you.
Good for your skin.
I remember Liz, body part Liz.
Liz Baxter.
Liz Baxter. She's great. Liz, she was one of those, you know, Tom, it's good. Tell people it's good for them, their hair and stuff. Oh, okay.
Ah.
She told me.
Yeah.
That didn't help much, but.
No.
Margie, you mentioned.
Yeah.
Was the Jell-O queen.
Yes.
Oh, that's
that's
right.
What I recall.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
She'd be in there 2-3 minutes.
she set the record. I believe. No, that's a picture of me in that other office in the Jell-O.
Hmm.
Well, maybe. Margie had the record. She did it like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
We all. Oh, you must have been breathing on the side of your mouth. There was another competition away. I would make a big batch of green Jell-O because that was the most unpeeling, right?
Sure.
And then we put fruit cocktail in it.
I recall that.
And mix it all in. It would harden up. It would be like a turkey base of a bowl.
Yeah.
And we do it right here at the tree. And you have to stick your face in it and hold your breath. All in the same Jell-O.
Yeah. So gross.
Watching that as a camper, though, I remember that being the most engaging competition for me as a camper. I used to just watch that. I'd be in awe.
Yeah.
Right.
Just, oh my God.
Right.
And then there'd be other people that would only be in there for 10, 15 seconds.
Yeah, right. Come right out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it didn't want to go in the beginning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're going in.
But you're watching it, they're like, there's no way she can keep holding her breath. And it's like, your expectations were just blown away.
Yeah, I did it too.
Yeah.
I couldn't match her. But so finally, one of the nurses, whoever, maybe it was her. No,
I don't think it was.
Must have been the next nurse. Somebody said something to Gail, and they were right. You know, hey, this isn't really everybody putting their mouth in
the this is gross,
bowl.
Yeah.
So I tried it one extra year, because I didn't want to give it up.
Yeah.
I made separate
plastic
bowls.
Yeah, I remember
bowls,
that. Yeah.
You know, it just wasn't the same.
Yeah.
So we let it go.
Yeah.
That was a great one.
That was a good one, yeah.
The
yeah.
eating thing, though, I would go down to the nurse's office and find out if somebody had an allergy to something on their medical record.
Yeah.
So they couldn't tell me they couldn't eat whatever it was.
Yeah.
And we invented some things. Like Kelly always wanted to get, were you in that?
Cottage cheese, yeah.
Because she loves cottage cheese. She said, Tom, do one with cottage cheese.
Mm-hmm.
I'll blow her away.
Yeah.
Okay.
Only person who likes cottage cheese.
So we had all cottage cheese.
Yeah.
We did a scrambled eggs a few years ago. And people were I entered that. I got in that one. But Bill won them all.
Yeah.
I got a couple hot dog stories. You ready?
Yeah. Okay.
Right. One is.
Work till tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
One is, yes, everything Eric said on that was right on.
Yeah.
Poor Todd. We love Todd, by the way.
Yeah.
Another one of my boys from Medfield.
Great
kid in high school, too. Just best.
Yeah.
His mother is a co-worker of mine. Just the best. But he was totally set up on that one. Eric did give him the sub, the whole thing. He had a big sub. And Eric did that to a lot of people in the year.
Yep.
And then we had just a little pot, a little, like your stainless steel pot from your, you put pasta in, and it was about a dozen hot dogs in it, all boiled. That's what they had to do. You know, and so we set him up for that, big time. And Eric came in with a belt.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, he used to give me competition ideas because he'd watch in the winter some show that had a lot of competitions. I don't remember the name of it. He'd call, hey, Tom, I got one for you. So there's a picture down in that office of this, too. I tried it. One and done. I forgot what we called it. Hot dogs and beans, I think I called it.
Mm.
It was a aluminum thing by Ocean State or something, and you fill it with beans, baked beans, and those little cocktail hot dogs, and you mix the hot dogs into the beans, and then you have five or six on a pick, maybe four contestants, and you give them a pair of swim goggles, right, those little tight ones you guys wear,
sure,
and then they have to
This must have been a few.
They have to stick their face in the beans and hot dogs in the premises. You wear the goggles so you can see the hot dogs.
Of course. The gravy.
And then you can grab the hot dogs with your mouth and bring them out. There's one. There's two.
So the whole thing was to retrieve the hot dogs.
Retrieve the cocktail dogs because you could see in the beans because
right.
You had goggles on. And Eric said, oh, it's awesome, John. Sounds good.
I like when you do that, when you set something up, and I especially like when it doesn't go so well. Sarah and I had talked about when Dave had missed the day of camp because he was at Woodstock. Do you remember that?
Dave
Kelleher.
Yeah.
He had gone to the Woodstock 94 concert, and things were such a mess out there that you couldn't leave.
Yeah.
You couldn't get in your cars. There was just this enormous problem out there. So he didn't come back that day. But it also rained here, too, so there was all this mud down there. Do you remember this?
Keep going.
And so you said, well, he walked through the mud for 2 days at Woodstock, so we're going to have him walk through the mud and show everyone here.
Oh, yeah.
And he brought the whole camp down. And they're all sitting there watching Dave's, like, kind of go through the mud. But everybody's like, okay. What are we doing
here? A lot
here?
Of things.
Whipped cream. I saw that going this far.
Great idea.
Yeah.
They're pulling each other in tarps. And
yep.
I thought it looked good and I saw it or thought it up, but the horse race, if somebody's mentioned.
Yep.
For the knees.
Yeah.
That was
kids are just,
what are you doing?
Yeah, at the moment, a fail is a fail.
Right.
But when you talk about it now, it's hilarious.
Yeah.
You
yes. know? Yeah. Like, we just kept going.
I about did it again the next year with knee pads.
That's right. Yeah. That was Kat telling that story. She's just like,
yeah.
Tom's like maniacal, like, adherence to, like, let's try it again.
This is going to work.
Yeah. Yeah.
This will work.
Right.
Back in time, early theme. It's called Jungle Day. Everybody was in. Jungle stuff. So I bet some of that exists down in the theater still.
Sure.
We all had. You know, the fur thing with a strap around your shoulder, everybody made them during the week. It became Carnival Day over time.
Yeah.
The fifth week was a major theme. When we built communities, we built a whole Western town down on the driveway one year. I'd go to this place in Franklin that made cardboard boxes, and I'd get donations. I'd bring massive amounts. Gail had a trailer behind her old car, and I'd take that car and I'd get tons of cardboard, bring them here, and people would make them into castles and big houses. Spend hours doing this around mm-hmm. camp time with box knives and tape. And I'd go to the local Bellingham Electric and places like that and get old refrigerator boxes. Bring them back whole.
Right.
You cut them out and make this. There's pictures over there of that too. A big castle, you'll see it. Massive amount of labor intensive that had to go. And it evolved into Carnival Day, which of course is gone now too.
Mm-hmm.
Because that became too much. Gail was overloaded in February for a third session.
Oh.
Third session fills like this.
Yes.
Probably still does.
Something. Oh, interesting.
Bang.
Well, that's what my kids wanted to go third session because of Carnival Day.
Yep.
Oh. Yeah.
Carnival Day was awesome. We
yeah,
made
it awesome.
Awesome with the bouncy, everything that we did.
Yep.
We did make it awesome, but it got out of control.
Oh, wow.
We said, let's just shut it down.
Yeah.
Oh, and did that adjust the booking at that point?
Yes.
It did.
Well, some. It took a couple of years.
Right.
Okay.
Time they got it.
Yeah.
That's why we, when I went from 6 cookouts a year to 3,
mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that was because of the workload, the effort, the stuff it took out of it. Come out and then do a show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though I'd say, hey, stay out there as long as you need.
Yeah.
No pressure, but there still was pressure.
Well, yeah. Eventually you'd send a runner to be like, let's
go.
Are
they okay?
Yeah.
Are they burned?
Yeah. As I recall, the first Carnival Day, the prize was just peanuts.
Yes.
Can't do that anymore.
I got big bags of peanuts to shuck.
Yep.
And
so not only
and she didn't mind because there's peanut shells everywhere. It's no problem.
Right.
Then it went to animal crackers.
That's right. Yeah.
People weren't happy with me on that one either. But they didn't know where I was coming from when they, he's changing something.
Yep.
No, I don't like change, you know. Nobody likes change in this world.
Yep.
Yeah.
But here?
How long did they go with the dunk tank? The dunk tank was always my favorite part of the carnival day.
There's no official carnival. I don't know if Sam's done it recently or not. It stopped with carnival stopped.
Yeah.
Oh, it's great.
I loved it.
Oh, it's the best.
I love being in it.
Yep.
Counselors are great about it.
Yeah.
Bullhorn down there, you call the counselor, Bill, come down. You have to come down.
Yeah.
Yeah, Carnival Day was, and it really was pretty simple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we just made it special. We cranked the music from up here in the gazebo.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, how many different areas had the same thing going on, basically? You know, you'd throw a wet sponge at the person's face that was through a board.
Yep, yeah.
You know? Ty would put whipped cream in people's head. I mean, shaving cream and do hair salons.
Right. Yeah. We'd dive for pennies in the pool. Yeah, it was very, very, but it was like...
I think the kids liked the freedom of that day.
Yes.
You know,
just a buddy.
Right.
Yep, have a buddy.
Another time when I'd stay down there with them for half an hour while it was being set up. Mm-hmm.
That's right, yep.
We went from 6 cookouts to 3. Now it's every other week, and that is really better. She was
on a Tuesday too, not on a Friday. Yeah.
Now it frees up everything else. Yeah. And I proposed that to her, and she said, "Yeah, sounds good." So that was easy to do.
And I'm sure the counselors didn't complain.
Oh no, counselors happy.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And you know, the counselors over the years, some great, great menus over the years out there, and then some. Yeah, I'd walk, I do the route.
Yep.
John, you know how John used to get, do you remember this, Bill? Were you here with John as a counselor, too? You were.
Yeah, a couple of years. Yeah.
He had his staff do everything. And we all brutalized him about it, but he just rolled and he was awesome. He'd watch his staff do the whole cookout. He'd see me coming. Oh, great one. You know, he thought it was... He was always sucking up to me.
Sure. Sure.
Having fun. Schmooze.
Yeah.
Oh, great one. He'd go like this whenever he passed me in camp. Come over and have some of our delicious. And he'd be off on the side, and his two assistants and his CIT were like,
sweating, fire,
and he just typed talking to me, or if Gail came by or Kelly came by, he'd just talk. And then his, his blurbs, his weekly blurbs, the counselors knew it. When a CIT, when you go to John's area, you're going to be doing the stuff.
Yep.
So he never said anything home in his own writing. Everything was done by his secretaries. And he's, of course, the only one to get away with it.
Of course.
I'd be busting him. John, you going to do any work this week?
Yeah.
You know, and if Gail knew it, she just turned a blind eye to it.
Yeah.
That's coming in late. I mean, it was for real. The girls would be embarrassed. They'd be coming up like, and he'd be like jumping behind the trees, and then he'd see me, and he'd go, and then he'd jump to another tree. Then he'd come up here behind the music shed, and that would be his group right there.
Right. Yeah.
So, boss, and then he'd make up something. Yeah. You know, and Gail would go, "Oh, John."
He had her.
You know, Todd had her. A few people had her.
Yeah.
And Nino had her. Yeah. Early days. Okay. But he had her.
I talked to the girls actually Monday night for an episode, and they described that. They're like, one time he had us like jump over the fence to boating, and then so we could jump back over. She's like, they were like, it was ridiculous.
Tried to do a different approach every time.
Yeah. They're like, we were always late.
But. And Gail would do it to her. John! It was great.
Well, I mean, that's where we get the camp time is real time, right? At orientation.
I would always say it right up at the pool clock. Everybody set your watch, because there was no phones.
Right.
Yep. Set your watches to this clock right now.
Yep.
Camp time is real time.
That's right.
Yeah. So all I remember is being in there and... I think you remember better than I know the result.
Nothing makes us happier.
You want me to refresh you?
Yeah. I know what I said.
Yeah.
But I didn't think it would be taken like.
The mother had called earlier and said that he was sick.
Yes.
That he was not going to be coming to camp because he was sick. Then she felt guilty. And she called later on to tell you that he was not sick, that he had gone to the concert. But most of us had already knew the truth.
Right.
Because he had been mouthing off all week that he was going to go to this concert. Yeah. So now you're in Sing, and the clues, things were coming together for you. And we were all watching this happen. And so you're standing up there, and you're going, you know, I got a weird phone call from Mother. And, you know, what is this fish? What's fish? You know, and everyone's like, oh, that's a rock band. They're playing up in Vermont, or is that where it was?
Yeah.
And you know, there, and yeah, that's where he is. And you go, oh, okay. And then you just go, sayonara, baby. Everyone just started roaring laughing because everyone knew you are gone.
Yep. Goodbye forever.
Both of them were gone.
Yeah.